Welcome to Guilds of the North, where Fangtooth is big boned and rage is in anger management. I'm your host, Paul, here with my co-host, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello.
And B. Steve.
Hello, nurse. It's been a while I did that, so.
Yeah, well.
Could have been longer.
I still don't know what it's from. It's from a TV show or something, right?
Animaniacs.
Oh, mention okay. It every time and you forget.
Forget it every time.
Yeah, well, I knew it was from a TV show.
Yeah.
Animaniacs was a TV show. It's all good. Should I tell Steve I found 3D files to print the Animaniacs?
You shouldn't have.
Really?
Possibly, Steve. Possibly. All right. So, we are here to discuss a new bit of information coming out of Steamforged.
Yes.
So, a new twist to Guild Ball.
A new layer to Guild Ball.
Yeah. And a potentially new way to balance Guild Ball. Right? I think that's kind of the goals. And, of course, we're talking about the Guild Identities cards. Antoine, as the pundit of the cast, why don't you go over what the identity cards are?
Okay, so those are where supposed to come with Season 4, but Steamforge couldn't wait until that long and decided to pre-release them and put them in beta with all the players. So what we get is a bunch of cards. The goal is to have, let's say, your team coach, you in this case, be planning his game, knowing his opponents, and he adjusts its strategy based on watching videos, if that could be done at that time, and replays of the other teams. So you will get a series of cards you can choose from, and you'll pick one, and this will have an extra effect on your game, and it will stay active for the whole game. So those cards have all kinds of abilities. You can get extra abilities. You can get ways to get VPs. Also, every card modifies the healing factor of your guild. So when you use momentum to do a command mate or... I'm blanking on the other name.
Take a breather.
Instead of healing for 4, you will be healing by a different number that's based on the card you pick. And one thing to remember is the average number is not 4 with the cards like it is in the base game. It's supposed to be 3. So some cards go right now as low as 2 and as high as 5 on the healing factor.
I don't think there's anything higher than a 5.
Yeah. So right now they are releasing 3 cards for every guild. And so at the start of your game, when you are picking your captain and mascot at the same step, you will also be picking your guild identity card. So you pick one between all the 3 available for you, and you will reveal it at the same time, and it will be active for the whole game. So in a tournament, you will be picking a new card during each game.
Now, question for you. Is it possible to not pick a card?
No, it is not. So if an event is with guild identity cards, you are not obliged. Required to pick one. So you cannot play without cards if the event is with cards.
I find that interesting because most guilds, from what I've seen, have at least one card that has the base healing factor of 4. But some guilds, like the Butchers, have nothing higher than a 3.
Yep.
So it's like they have to take a penalty.
Mm-hmm. But they get
obviously they get the boon as well. Yeah, yep. they get the bonus, but...
Well, so either their bonus are really good, or the guild is too strong right now, maybe for the meta. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. that's what Antoine and actually Steamforged said in the newsletter when they announced the new cards or the new way to play. It's a way to rebalance the game without rebalancing the player. So if a guild is a bit too strong in the current meta, they adjust it by reducing the healing factor. And if a guild is not as good or performing as good as the other or choose as much as the other, then the healing factor is a bit higher.
That's strange. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I understand the logic, but and maybe just the meta is completely different than what I kind of read the meta is. Like fish, for example, they have a 2, 3, and a 4 card. Mm-hmm. So they don't necessarily have to be penalized. I did not realize, we'll use butchers again. I did not realize that they were, super, super hard in the meta,
Yeah, but I think it also goes with the cards you have available. Like you mentioned, the fish, they have a 2 card and a 4 card. But there are 2 cards, in my opinion, is one of the best in the whole cards available.
Yeah, that I know. That's the one I would pick.
Yeah. So depending on how you're playing and who you're playing against. So
yeah.
I don't know. And another thing to remember is
the way I roll, I would always pick that card.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a beta. So they are expecting feedback from player and want you to try it and let them know what you think of it. So those cards are not the final versions. So maybe some will be adjusted up or down.
Well, no, for sure. I have the time frame if you want with the dates that they publish on the blog post.
Go for it.
If you want. So the first preview rule is expected to be Friday the 15th.
So it will be out.
Well, that's what they said.
That's the first update.
Yeah, the first rule update, preview update.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, second.
Yeah, because the other rules will be out before we release this episode.
The show.
So people will have had time, at least a couple of days, to read through and make their own mind about the cards.
And they can tell us in the comments that we are wrong.
How wrong we are.
Exactly. The second preview rules update will be expected around Friday, the 29th of September. The final preview rules update is for Friday, the 13th. And the final preview ends on Friday, the 27th.
So overall, it's all steps of 2 weeks. So there will be 3 updates, and they will stop taking feedback after another 2 weeks after that. So it's a bit like the CID we see right now from Privateer Press with War Machine and Ords.
I'm sure that's not by accident either.
Yeah, probably not.
And what's that expression? Imitation is a serious form of flattery?
Yeah, something like that.
The Privateer Press should be extremely flattered by Guild Ball.
So, sorry, what do you think of the concept? Not entering into the specific cards.
I like the idea. I think it's a neat concept. I worry a bit about power creep in the game because of them. Because no matter how much you test anything in a miniature game, there'll always be a variable you didn't account for. And if it's not today, it's tomorrow when you release that new model and something goes completely sideways that you didn't foresee. Because players are notoriously good at doing stuff that game developers never expect.
There's always a loophole.
Yeah. And people like Steve will exploit it.
But I'm friendly. That's okay.
Well, you're very friendly. I never say otherwise, Steve.
You will be smiling while abusing it.
Yeah, exactly. people will be soul crushed playing you, but they won't hate you for it. It's like your secret power.
Steam Forge is not shy about rebalancing, though, and I'm pretty sure guild's identities will have a lifetime similar to the seasons.
Yeah.
So when they will do reworking on the guild players members, update. The players, I'm pretty sure we will see reworking of the guild identities at the same time.
Yeah, and maybe they'll
following soon.
Yeah, and maybe they'll phase out cards and bring up new ones and things like that for sure. Mm-hmm. But on my part,
like they do with the plots.
Yeah, exactly. I really like the idea of the cards, and I think some card might influence which captain or players you will choose. So that's what I like. It adds another layer of strategy when you choose your team, and it's what I like. It's tailored. It's tailored against your opponent. So you can choose which card you think will give you the advantage over your opponent, but your opponent does the exact same thing as well. So I really like that part of the pre-match, if you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, anything gives you diversity in the game is cool. And I guess in a game with a limited model count, you either have to have, either you have to get everyone to buy multiple teams so they get diversity, or you have to add extra things where they can customize a little bit to get to change their play experience.
Yeah, so we had the blood cards before, and now with the guild identity cards, it's another variable you have to factor for your game. So it does add the diversity and variation.
The blood cards are random, so...
Yeah, but still, it means that the models are not static.
Yeah.
Sure, you don't know what you'll get, but you do get them before you pick your lineup.
Yeah.
And you can choose in consequence. And same thing with the guild identity. You will know what plot cards you have before picking your identity, and that might also impact your captain choice and your identity card choice.
Exactly. That's what I like about those.
Yeah. It's a lot of brain burning, I find, before even starting your game.
Yeah, and it's not like the game is not mentally intensive to begin with, right?
Yeah. I think something like that, for people like Paul and I, who are more casual about the game, will be fun, but can be brought to a really higher level of looking into the cards and their effect for people who are more tournament-minded, like Steve or some of our other player in our meta. In the larger meta, because
And thank you for putting me in the same category as you, Antoine. I appreciate that. If there was a subcategory of casual, I'd probably fit in there. Like ultra casual or mega casual. But yeah, no, like you said, I think it'll be a fun twist for me to play, something interesting. And I don't think it's going to change a lot for me, but it's still gonna be a fun thing. Whereas I agree, people who are meta bending and, really looking to, draw out all the potential of their players will gain a lot of benefit from this. Do we know? I mean, so they've released 3 cards per team right now. Do we know how many are going to be in total?
It's supposed to be 3.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay. So this is everything.
Yep.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I thought this was a preview.
They previewed a single card to the public for a week. And later this week, they will be releasing the other 2 for everybody. And
earlier this week.
Well, yeah, later this week at the recording time and earlier this week at the release time.
Right, yeah. Because if all goes as planned, we're releasing this on the 9th. And I believe they said they were going to release all the cards to everyone the 7th or the 8th. Yes. They were not sure from the email I read. Yeah. So this will be old news by the time we publish. But that's okay. Not everyone is Steve. Not everyone will be on the pulse of
Old news, but a subject.
Oh, just the way Steve likes it.
I don't know where I was going with that. Music.
Yeah, I didn't know where I was going with that.
Bum, chicky, bum, bum, chicky, bum.
Okay, that's enough, Steve. Down, Steve, down. All right, so why don't we talk about some of the cards?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to go through the 30-odd cards, whatever it is, but we can certainly give some highlights.
Pick a favorite and talk about it and discuss.
I mean, just some of the names are awesome. I mean, who wouldn't want to play with a card called Watch the World Burn?
that gets my vote every time. Name all the cards. So we'll go
The Alchemist.
Yeah, guild by guild. Name the okay. cards and say which one we like the most.
And the guilds are by alphabetical order.
Yeah. So first up, we have A is for alchemists. First card, lead to gold.
Second card, chemical resistance.
And the last one is watch the world burns.
So their healing factors go from 2 to 4. So you can pick whatever level of cards you want. And their effects are pretty variable. Some are buff, some are more damage to the opponent. And some ways to score VPs. Which one do you like the most, guys?
Lead to gold is my favorite one.
Lead to gold?
Yeah, lead to gold, sorry.
Careful, Steve, your French is showing.
Yeah.
More liquid English. More liquid English.
So it seems. But I really like it, especially like in a smoked lineup. Oh,
well, it's going to be brutal.
Where you have AoEs everywhere anyways. So she can just teleport and score a VP, well, or vitriols go and score and you have another VP.
Maybe you should read what it is, Steve, so people listening actually know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So once per turn, when the friendly team has at least 2 ongoing effect AoEs on the pitch and a friendly model scores a goal, the friendly teams gain an additional VP.
That's a lot of conditions.
Yeah, but it's so easy, especially in smoke. If you do the turn you proc her legendary, she puts 2 AoE just by herself.
Yeah, no, I realize that.
I find it's one of the easiest additional VPs to trigger.
Because
no, for sure. For one additional Mercury, VP, it is...
Like, yeah, you have Mercury who lays down AoE. You can have Ari with his gold, not the cone, but the Molotov. And Calculus as AoE. And if you want to be really... tricky. You can even take M-Lock, I think, as your union player, and she can throw poison AoE as well. So,
so someone has to take M-Lock?
Oh, I know.
I doubt that.
But it's
even I know she sucks, Steve.
And I
own the model.
And also, one of the easiest to do is just take Flask as your mascot, and he gives you a smoke every turn. So that's one ongoing AoE.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite easy to attain.
This is true. No, and I'm not saying it was hard to attain. There are a lot of conditions. They are easy, but for one additional VP, I guess.
It's also balanced out by the fact that it's only a 2 healing factor.
Yeah,
so it's probably one of their best one because of that.
It's gonna be brutal. Yeah. As soon as you get damaged, trying to climb back up, it's gonna be rough.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you score a couple goals, you do one takeout, and you can win if you've proc'd this twice off those goals. So,
yeah, exactly.
All right.
And that's not considering that they can already have extra VPs with some of their players.
Mm-hmm. With Veteran Catalyst.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
Oh, that's fine. You picked one for this guild. Okay. We'll go for the other guilds.
Yeah.
If not, we'll read everything.
Yeah, exactly. B is for blacksmith. So we have 3 cards again. Strike right here.
Tough as nails.
And passing the mantle.
Want me to pick one, Paul?
Sure.
Sure. My friend is passing the mantle. So
that was my vote also. So
yeah,
we think alike, Antoine.
Yeah, I think just because it plays so well in the new concept of the... Master
and apprentice,
master captain and apprentice that the blacksmith have. So what it does is once per game, and that's the only card that only triggers once per game instead of once per turn or always being in effect. So once per game during your maintenance phase, the controlling player may select a different friendly master model on the pitch to be the captain. So for people who don't know how the blacksmith work, you always have to choose pair. One master, one apprentice. You choose 3 pairs. And one of those masters, you choose as your captain for the game. And it stays like that. It has some impact. It gets the captain keyword and get extra maximum influence and stuff like that. But with that card, you can switch it in the middle of a game. And some of their abilities are impacted by being a captain or not, and their maximum influence is also impacted by that. So it could really change how your game is going. So I find it really interesting.
See, I like the description you said, like you like how the master apprentice things work in the farmer, in the blacksmith. And that's why my favorite card for me, it's the first one we said, Strike Right Here, because it plays with that as well, with the apprentice as master dynamic.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it's another of the additional VP one, and that you need to have one of each model to be able to get that additional VP. So it's an interesting one too.
Right. Yeah, no, I really like Passing the Mantle. I just like the idea of confusing your opponent by constantly having different, you know, masters become captains and having their effects change, and just it's just messing with the opposing team. I really like that. All right. Next up, we have the Butchers. And you always have to say the name that way, by the way. Okay. So the first card is Take It to 'Em.
Second one is Bloodthirst.
And the last one is Tactical Elimination.
Hmm. Yeah, and I guess it's my turn to pick. And I'm going to say I like the name of Tactical Elimination. but I really like the Take It to 'Em card. So once per turn, when a friendly guild model makes an attack that inflicts the taken out condition, which should happen nonstop with the Butchers, on an enemy model that is within 8 inches of the enemy goalpost, the friendly team gains +1 additional VP. So basically, if you take out an enemy model that's within 8 inches of the goalpost, you gain additional VP.
Yeah. I think that this card will work best in a fast fillet lineup. Because you'll be on the other side
of the board end of the
more
field.
Often.
Yeah.
So I think it fits well because she will want to score. So she might, her or other player, and they will be on the other side and near the goalpost anyway. So I think it's synergized well with Philip more than with Ox.
Yeah. I mean, with Ox, I'd see maybe Bloodthirst would be a better choice. I really like that one too. The constant.
That's the one we played. Steve and I played one game with the rules now, and with just the original
the first
so
sample
only
card,
a single
yeah.
card. So that's the one we used. I think it was almost a non-issue because I was healing while doing some damage, but because it's only providing 2 as a healing factor, I wasn't using my momentum to heal my guys. So I healed always a bit, but less. So,
okay, I see
I'm not sure.
It's a trade-off.
Yeah, but I was healing as I was attacking, so I was generating a bit more momentum. However, Steve was playing hunters and heavy condition, so the momentum I had was needed to remove conditions and not heal my guys. So I wasn't healing that much, and it was one of my most dangerous game where most of my lineup was under 5 heal point, life points constantly.
Steve took you to the cleaners, eh?
But you still won 12 to 4.
Of course he did. He's Antoine. All right. Next up, we have the Brewers. Bring it on.
Happy hour.
Another round.
I like their names.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say, a lot of great names for this one. Yeah. Of course, it's an easy one, too. For naming, I mean.
Yeah.
Steve, want to pick one? Or
Steve's turn, yep.
Well, I like Happy Hour because of the name, but also because of the effect. And it's the target number test for all model making a shot is +1. So if you want to try to score, because it's possible to have more scoring lineup with a bit of beater and especially with the newer player in the Brewers, this will help you a lot. And like position snapshot with Mash, but also try to score with Friday because she's still fast. I mean, she's she has a super shot and the other, I shoot better after a beer or something like that. So she can score from far away, and with plus one target number means like she'll score for like from 10 inches or something like that. And she'll be tapping in that, still like if she's tapping in that, three up. So.
Yeah, that's really
one
good.
Thing to note about the Brewers card is all their inning factor are high. So happy hour is a 4, there's another 4, and there's a 5. So, and all the cards are good, I think.
Yeah,
so
it's one of the guild that
might
everything...
be a point that the Brewers might be low in the meta right now.
They need a little help.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all their abilities are quite good. I really like happy hours as well. I think that's my pick.
My favorite one was another round.
A round?
I think it fits well with, because the Brewers having almost all heroic plays, it lets you start your synergies without even having a momentum at the start of the turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, so another round lets you use a heroic play without spending momentum once per turn.
Yeah.
This one is pretty good as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And still a 4 heal factor, so. All right. Next up are the engineers.
Oh, they skip C. Too bad. There's no guild with C. Because I could have said C is for cookie, and that's good enough for me.
Well, you did say it anyway, Steve. So congratulations.
Thank you, Paul.
I can tell we're recording late, Steve, because your silliness factor is high.
They'll be missing a lot of litter. There's only 10 guilds, and we already passed 2 Bs.
So. All right. So next up are the engineers. And their first card is Clockwork Perfection.
Second one is We Can Rebuild Them.
And the last one is Tracer Rounds.
Hey, is this my turn?
I think it's mine. Really not sure. I think my favorite one is We Can Rebuild Them. Because it's... which gives friendly guild model gains regenerate, which gives you 2 hit points back at your maintenance phase. So everybody before condition are healed for 2. It's got a healing factor of 2. And overall, I think I like that one better because I think it's the same as the Butchers Get Bloodthirst, but better because it's automatic and you don't have to do attacks to get healed by 2. And it works great because engineers are pretty tough. A lot of them have tough hide, a lot of them have reanimate, and it makes them even harder to kill now. But the other cards are useful too.
I like Tracer Rounds for myself because there's so many like range plays that you can do in, like in a Ballista lineup, getting a bonus time every time your player activates to get it.
Yeah, that one is good because it's not once per turn, it's once per activation. So every model can use it.
Yeah, so like Salvo with a flurry who gets 3 dice, or Arrow to the Knee who gets automatically 2 dice, and also Oist who can use Truplication to use the one that blasted or something like that. So. I like this one a lot.
It's almost the equivalent of 6 extra momentum points.
Yeah.
So if you do, have done a character plays with everybody. So it's a big momentum switch.
That's a crushing amount of momentum.
Yeah.
For free.
For free, exactly, without doing anything. So that's awesome.
Which is hard to get anyway when you're doing all range character plays. Even with Ballista effect, you don't get that much. So
no, exactly.
It really helps you doing it. So.
All right. Next in line are the Farmers Guild. And first card is Spirit of Cooperation.
Second one is Eat Arty. Is it the right pronunciation?
Yep.
Yeah.
And the last one is Healthy Living. Living, sorry.
Now, I have to admit,
you thought about Martha Stewart with the last one?
Well, no, maybe. But the fact that I lose players nonstop when I play my fish makes me really like the Eat Hardy card. So I'm going to pick that one, even though I know it's not the best, but I still think it's interesting. So when a friendly model returns the pitch, it immediately recovers 3 hit points, which I think is great. So basically your guys come back with 3 extra points, and it's a healing factor 5 card.
Your farmers will be full and often.
Yeah, because
they already have a ton of hit points. So when you add that to it, wow.
Yeah, and the thing is, because they have a ton of hit points, it takes a lot to fill them up, right?
So, and if you heal, you'll heal by 5. So it's going to be even harder. So potentially you can heal 10 hit points on a model. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
13 in the same turn. 3 if he's coming back. And if he's coming 10. Back,
Well, yeah, off the cost of 3 momentum, right?
Yeah,
that's a lot more than the 2 some other guilds can do.
Yeah, like I said, I know it's not the most powerful ability, but you know, since I always get a bunch of takeouts against me when I play, it speaks to me on a personal level. What about you guys? Do you have something else you like there? From a more pro player point of view?
I can't really say. I haven't played. I haven't seen farmers on the field yet. I like that they use their Reaper / Planter mechanics in the Spirit of Corruption card and the Harvest Marker in the Ulti Living one. So I like what they did either with them or with the Blacksmith using the new mechanics in them. But I'm not sure how it plays out, so I couldn't really answer that.
Well, I think LT Living is quite good because +1 attack, like for kind of free, it's really nice bonus.
It
will help you to wrap.
Interestingly enough, it doesn't affect their captains.
Yeah. Well, because you don't want Thresher with +1 attack.
No, you do want Thresher with a +1 attack, don't you?
Well, if you're playing him, but you don't need it. And if you're playing against him, you don't want it. Trust me. All right.
A team I can actually talk a little about. Next up, the Fishermen. Their first card is Football Champions.
Second one is Slippery Fishes.
And the last one is Deflection.
Yeah. I don't know. I look at these 3 cards, and I don't think we'll ever see Slippery Fishes.
Yeah, I mean,
you'll never see that card. So, Steve, I think you're up again.
Well, Paul,
it in a fish versus fish mashup if the other guy is playing Corsair. But that's about it.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
Or Brewers against Brewers just to compensate for all the knockdowns they do.
The thing is, I just don't know if one defense is...
Yeah, but
considering actually, how good one more.
You might take it against a beating team because that's the one with the healing factor of 4.
Yeah.
So to try to help
you. Harder to hit and you heal more. So might compensate for the beating.
Well, you're only harder to hit when you're knocked down. So.
Yeah, but that's why I mentioned it, especially against the Brewers who almost all do knockdowns easily.
Yeah.
And you.
So, Steve, your favorite one?
No, Paul, it's your guild. Go ahead.
Oh,
it's the one you can talk about.
Yeah, well, again, because, you know, I suck. My dice suck horribly in this game. I'm going to say Deflection. It's my favorite card. Because I'm the only guy in the world that can miss a tap-in with Shark. once per turn, when a friendly guild model misses a shot, the friendly team gains 2 VP.
Before recording, Steve and I were talking, and we also both love that card.
Yeah.
But not just for the horrible dice, just for the... I find it so easy to set up for 2 VPs just because of snapshots and all the long range they have on their kick goals. Put Angel anywhere 10 inches from the goal. She doesn't even need line of sight, or she can be in the range of other players. She doesn't need to get a goal. She just need to shoot at it with only one dice, miss, and do an extra two. So I find it's an easy way to do two goals. Score one with Shark or with anybody. The balls come back on the play. Steal it, pass it to Angel or anybody within eight, and get another two for a missed snapshot.
Yeah.
So you're exchanging two momentum points on your snapshot for two automatic VPs. And if you're lucky, you might even get four because you score.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There's no downside to this card, right?
Well, there is so zero good. Downside.
Healing of two is the downside.
Yeah. But I mean, aside from that.
But really, that's the one I would pick the most. If yeah. I had some fish.
You'll be seeing it on the pitch, Steve. Don't worry. Because, like I said, if I can miss a tap-in with Shark...
You'll need it.
And actually, in that case, I think that cost me the game.
Probably.
So... Yeah. Anyway. So that's my vote. Next up, it's the skill that no one plays. Hunters. No one except Steve. First card, Bait the Trap.
Second one is Go to Ground.
And the last one is Nature's Bounty.
And so Steve, it's your guild.
It's not Bounty like the chocolate bar.
I'm just looking for the, like, six healing factor card that makes you take Theron.
There's no need.
With the new change to him,
I know. He's a lot
better than this week when we played.
He is a ton better.
He's really good. My favorite one is Bait the Trap, the Admiral Akbar card.
No, it's a trap, Steve.
I know. So that one is, I'll read the description. At the end of each initiative phase, the controlling player chooses one enemy model. The enemy model suffers the snared condition. If all the enemy models on the pitch are already suffering the snared condition, the friendly team gains one VP instead. So this one is, well, not easy to accomplish, but... in a Skata lineup where she plays her AoEs and she can snare like three players depending if the person is placing in a bunch or something like that. You have Shaska who can lay trap and do some snaring, Jaykar as well, and you can take Minx too. So it's kind of easy to have lots of snare. Or if you Theron who can just shoot at range and do some snaring as well, and both earn. So it snares everywhere. And with that, if you're close to having snared on everybody, well, you get one VP as a bonus. But yeah. Also, if you need to lay a snare before attacking or anything, you just have one for free.
Well, yeah, that's just it, right?
Most interesting. It's anybody on the pitch, like the bear is going to activate first. There's no way for him to put snare on somebody. But, yeah. Oh, yeah, you get it for free. Doesn't have to do any role. And his target is now getting mauled.
Exactly. So that's really, really good. And that's why it's downing the healing factor down to two.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I think that's going to be extremely powerful. I'm not looking forward to seeing you do that to me. Because I know what'll happen.
Why do you think I would choose that one, Paul?
Because you just picked it now? Well, that's my first clue.
I like Nature's Bounty, but the problem is...
Not really.
It's not really that useful because
it's
you don't know...
It's not a free snare every turn.
Not a free snare, and you don't know if there's going to be rough ground on every pitch. And yeah. The rough ground might not be placed... where you like to have it have another forest. So if you want another forest, just pick Theron as your captain. There you go.
Problem yeah, but solved. At least you pick your cards after seeing the board.
Yeah, I know.
So if there's a big forest right in the middle, you can pick rough that ground. And have Urn in your, a big rough ground in the middle. You can pick Urn mm-hmm. in your lineup, pick that card, and you have your super nice teleportation center right there.
And line of sight blocking.
Yeah. So. it might be interesting. That one is one of the most limited one, I think, because it's so situational. But might be good, but it's...
Yeah, it's going to be depending on...
It depends each game.
And the kindness of the TO.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, the Masons. First card, Rapid Response.
Second one is Build to Last.
And the last one is Brick House.
Antoine, I've decided you're up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't talk for a long time, so.
I like Build to Last. I find it fits well with the guild. So when a guild model uses a defensive stance, on top of the plus one defense he gets, he also gets a plus one armor. It's not limited per turn. You can do it once per activation, once per guy attacking you. It does cost you a momentum point anyway. So, but I find it fits, and it's good getting plus one armor and plus one defense when you're getting charged. It really lessens the impact.
You say cost you one MP, but not necessarily, because there's Tower who has the AoE can place, and everybody gets a free defensive stance in that AoE.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So you can really put a wall of player and block and be sturdy.
But I think the other two have more of an impact on the game. But I find that Build to Last fits well thematically.
Yeah, looking at Brick House,
it's harder to do.
Yeah, definitely.
But rapid, for me, it's Rapid Response, my favorite one, because a free dodge when you take out the model, so.
You're too used to playing Back to the Shadows with your...
Yeah, hunters. I think so. That's why.
Yeah, it definitely appeals to my fisherman instincts, but for the same reason, right? Yeah. All right. What do we got next? We have the Union.
No, Morticians.
Oh, Morticians. Yes, sorry.
I know nobody plays them anymore, but it's not a reason to skip them.
I scrolled a little too far, Steve. Cut me some slack here, buddy. Cut me some slack. All right. Morticians. First card, Inheritance Tax.
Second one is Near Death Experience.
And the last one is Death Comes for All.
So as our only active Mortician player, I think in the province.
Well, come don't play that. I don't play them anymore because I switched to the Hunters in Season 3.
That's true. You have the most experience of us three. So which one do you like the best, Steve?
Well, the near-death experience, I like it. But I like that comes for all, but I think it's going to be hard to do. But I like the concept of that one because that comes for all is at the end of each turn, if three or more models are suffering the taken out condition, the friendly team gains one VP.
I like the fact that it's any from any team.
Oh, and it's all models.
It's any three models. Okay, yeah.
So it can be a mascot if, like, Dirge is kind of easy to kill and
or like, it might be a reason to play the rat because you let him explode, give a VP to the opponent, but. That helps you trigger the card.
Yeah, exactly. You could use that as well. It's fun, but it's going to be really rough, I think, to get the VP.
Yeah, I didn't read that it was any model. Like, it didn't click, so I'm like, so I have to get three of my models taken out, so I'm down by six, and then I get one. Woohoo!
Like, yeah, but it might also be Bolt Mascot, now that we know that, and just any other player.
Yeah.
So, could be pretty easy to trigger also.
But is it worth all that work for one VP?
It depends because you'll get the play against Butchers. There will be three takeouts every turn anyway, depending on which side. Maybe one or two of you and one of the other guys too, because they're glass cannon. So they'll kill something of you, but Morticians can put the earth also. And you'll get revenge. And after that, you just sacrifice your mascot and air a VP for a VP.
Mm.
might help you finish the game, especially with the it's Vetgrave that gives extra VP also.
Yeah, but who plays Vetgraves?
But you played him for a while, yeah. And with that card and the rats, it does kind of a combo.
You're saying, see, you need to play in team tournament with Paul Ill Reason You on those kind of combos.
I think I scarred you for life, Steve.
No, it's okay.
Keep bringing it up. I'm sorry, Steve.
But honestly, if I would play with my Mortician, I would probably take near-death experience though, because it's most useful and easier to use.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're on Union, right?
Yeah, the last.
So, last but not least. So, first up is Most Wanted.
Second one is Pirate Ransom.
And the last one is Raise the Stakes. And it's Stakes, S-T-E. Okay. It's not steak like eat a steak. It's steak.
Wow, Steve. just wow. I don't know how dumb you think people have to be. They're talking about like meat, but...
No, it's because of my French pronunciation, so that's why I want to clarify it.
Well, both words are pronounced the same way, right?
Oh, okay.
So, anyway, enough about that.
If it was a butchered card, maybe you would have had to.
Oh, that would be awesome. Oh, we need to contact Steamforge and totally petition for that.
A new card, Raise the Stakes. I used
the same name in both, but just exactly. With a different word.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That would be awesome.
Steamforge, if you're listening, do this, please. So,
okay, that's completely sidetracked now.
Who wants to do this one?
I put Antoine on it.
I find them all interesting. I think I'm not a veteran rage player. I've played Black Art a bit. I'm looking at maybe expanding my Union. But if I was a veteran rage player, I think Most Wanted would be the one I would be looking for. So once per turn, when a friendly guild model inflicts a taken out condition on an enemy model, after any VP is gained, the friendly model can spend 3 momentum points to gain an additional VP. And they do so much hurt and generate so much momentum, usually, with the veteran
toolbox.
Rage.
Toolbox. And toolbox.
Mm-hmm. And toolbox. That sacrificing 3, when you probably already gain 2 just from the last hit, one for a momentum damage, one for the takeout. So, if you add just 1 before that, it's another VP. I think it's one of the easiest plus 1 VP to get of all the factions. And it's compensated by a kneeling factor of only 2.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you that I think it's easy to trigger and that it probably makes the most sense.
And but I see it only with Veteran Rage. I don't think it fits with the other 2 captain. Well, at least not with Seasoned Brisket.
Yeah, and the Seasoned Brisket's the team I was building. And yeah,
with Blackheart, but Blackheart, it's really maybe? Aimed at the Rage.
Yeah.
Yeah, because most of the time we see Vet Rage Union team these days, so, and I doubt you'll see Pirate Ransom or Raise the Stake because you have so much momentum with that team that
you're aiming for takeout anyway. So.
Exactly. So you'll mostly always win the initiative role, so you don't need the bonus momentum or the plus 1 for the initiative role.
Yeah. All valid points.
And it's to note that the Union are all reduced healing as well.
Yeah.
It's
2 and 3.
Yeah. Right.
Which and is, actually, I think... Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, well, which is actually okay, because Union is one of the strongest guild right now, I think.
Yeah.
I think it also speaks of the strength of their cards, though.
Yeah.
Plus 1 to your initiative roll every time. Or a
that's
second
really
momentum point when you lose initiative. That's also good.
Yeah, yeah, I would kill for that with my fish, right?
Yeah, but yeah, but you with Union, yeah, it's rare you lose initiative in the, especially in a Vet Rage lineup.
Yeah, but for the other two, having the base influence to be able to go for a gold run and not do that many attack to generate momentum because you get it for free, it might help. Or the plus one initiative if you are going for a seasoned brisket or even black art if you try to do goes, you have less momentum, so it does compensate for the difference.
Yeah.
So I think you're good.
With the other
but captain. I think those two we will see with more with the other captains. And it might help them see the play more.
Yeah.
So overall, what do you think of the cards? And sure, they're not final. They will change. Or they might change.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like the concept. I think it's a neat idea. And I think it adds some variety to the game. I do worry, like I said, I worry a little bit about game balance issues that may crop up.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, Steamforge isn't shy about revising stuff. And I also kind of worry, and I think I've mentioned this before in previous casts, that Steamforge likes change.
Players don't.
And players don't, right? And it's a very real thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I worry it just hurts them in terms of player base. I mean, we'll have to see, right? I could be totally off base on that. So, well, I guess we'll see when season... Well, actually, these are available now, so... I was going to say, we'll see when season 4 comes out. But now that you're going to start your pundit duties again, as the summer's over and you have more free time, we'll have to see how the group comes back to the game and takes to these new cards.
Yeah, as soon as the family situation gets back... Before it was the summer, and now it's something else.
Yeah, well.
But once it gets resolved,
there's always something with family.
I have my evenings. Once I get back my evenings, I'll for sure run something at the store, get the ball rolling. Or if not, I'll try to talk with our other inactive pundits.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other two, only one of them has a kid. So, the third one?
Is a kid.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Is a kid.
I'm so going to hear about rolling, that.
Get the ball rolling, Mr. Caputo. Get the ball rolling.
He's too busy rolling buckets of dice and firing bolters at stuff, so.
Ah, yeah. Yeah.
He is... The perfect example of gamer ADD.
Yes. Yeah. He's switching system every 6 months.
He's a textbook example. 6 months? I don't know, man.
6 days?
Yeah, it's more like it. Whenever there's something shiny on the horizon. That's okay. You're only young once. You gotta sow your seeds. Steve, what's your take on the... I talked a lot. What's your take on the cards? How do you feel?
Well, I like them a lot. I like that they in most of the guild there's a choice of which cards you'll take. Some are less of a choice than others, but most of the time, but most of the time there's going to be a choice to be made, and that choice could be influenced by the opponent you're facing. So that's what I like about the cards. It's going to help you and try to outwit your opponent. That's what I like about that concept and the cards we just described.
I agree with Steve. I like that it's going to add a variation in the game, mm-hmm. but not that much. And also how deep you can go in analysis. Like looking at your plots, looking at your cards, and then picking your captain and your team and check at your opponent. Or you could do like Paul and I will do and probably have a pre-selected six lineup with a pre-selected card.
Yeah, well, I've only got one captain painted, so that doesn't help.
Yeah, same for me. So.
I've had like 80% of Corsair painted for a year now. I did that all like in the first day. And I was super hyped. and then just never quite finished. In fact, he's sitting right here.
Oh,
he's taunting me.
With you and Steve going to SteamCon, it's a good occasion to finish it before the convention.
Yeah, I got to finish him. I've got to paint an arm for Angel, who lost one. Not Angel,
Siren.
Siren.
But it's okay. She's been nerfed, so there's no rush for her.
Well, I still want her.
I know.
I still want her painted, and I've got to paint the hag.
Yes, you need to.
Yeah.
Paint the hag before Siren.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll paint them both at the same time, Steve. It's easy.
Yeah. Siren is only missing your arm, right? An arm?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so. It'll take 30 seconds to paint. Remember, Steve, I'm a fast painter.
I know.
If I actually sit down to paint, I could paint, you know, all three remaining models in an evening. I just got to get down and sit down and do it. All right. I guess that's where we'll wrap it up. We've been going at this for about an hour, and I think we've covered everything we really need to cover.
Yeah.
Does anyone have anything else you'd like to say?
Well, I just need to have some games in and try those. I'm really eager to test them out.
So, local players, contact Steve either on the
Facebook page,
the Geeks of Nerd Facebook page, or the Guildball Montreal Facebook group.
Yeah.
So get there, contact Steve, and even if you play on your own side, report your games. Let SteamForge know what you think about the cards, about the system, and get that ball rolling.
Yeah, and Steve, if you're free Saturday night, we can hook up.
I think I might.
Oh, there you go.
It's a play date.
There you go. I don't even need to print the cards. I know I'm going to use deflection. It's all good.
Perfect. All set up. So you just need to paint the ag for Saturday then.
Oh, actually, maybe you can come over and we can stream the game. And people could watch me incompetently play the fisherman. And you politely tell me how I can beat you.
Oh, true, because the cards will be out if we play on Saturday.
That's right. That's right.
We can test the new clock and that nice setup.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa there. Back up with the clock there.
Well, the prototype of the clock.
First off, the prototype of the clock won't be complete. So people know what we're talking about. I've built a clock that reports back to Windows, so I can export that into my Twitch stream, so people can see what's left on the clock for time.
And the VPs.
And the VPs. But, you know, the clock's not finished yet, Steve, so we kind of have to wait till that's done. But the streaming equipment's here, so we can definitely stream. All I have to do is try to remember how to play the game before then. It's all good.
Perfect. It's the easiest part.
All right. Well, I will see you Saturday.
So it seems.
And Antoine, I will see you sometime soon.
Actually, Paul, hopefully. It's tonight.
Oh, right. Yes, because...
we're in the future. Yes,
we're in the future. recording from the future, live.
Take care, Paul. Right.
it's approaching midnight, so this is...
I'm about to turn into a pumpkin, so we need to stop.
Exactly. And Antoine's just shaking his head. I can't even see the camera, but I can tell he's shaking his head. All right, guys. So we'll see you in the next episode.
Take care.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve. And if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by LaDrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out United Geeks Network Family Member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Zero Budget Geek, a YouTube channel covering board games, video games, and other geek stuff. you'll find Let's Play and How to Play videos of different board games and video games, as well as reviews. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at unitedgeeksnetwork.com.